I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's a beautiful Friday morning in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Steak. He's Rusty Manziel. Thank you so much for being on the biggest, baddest sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Get the Odyssey app. We got all the games in Westwood One. Anytime that you're driving around all weekend long, get on the Odyssey app. We'll have the games on for you there as well. And we'll tell you about the shows coming up. Dukes and Bell, they're...
Where are they at? Like, they were in Chattanooga, then they're in Vegas. They're in Jamaica. Are they in Jamaica today?
No, they're Twin Peaks and Buckhead. If I didn't get sick, I was going to try to work with Mike Bell this afternoon. Dude. If the concert was going to let me. But, when you're not feeling well, you don't want to spend an afternoon with Mike Bell. That's going to guarantee that
you're
going to...
You can't half-ass it with Mike Bell. On a Friday, March Madness?
No.
Zero chance.
Joining us right now from SEC Network, does a fabulous job. Remember him in his playing days as well. And got a few things to talk about these days for sure. Pat Bradley joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. Good morning, sir. What's happening?
Hey. Oh, not much. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're, good. I don't know, no major surprise at the top. I call them, the big four or big five. Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, maybe Kentucky. They're all going to be thriving and surviving, it looks like. And then us poor folks at Georgia, Missouri, Texas, you surprised by any of the early losses?
Yeah, I got to say, the way Georgia came out, they seem to be clicking, right? Just to end the season and, couldn't make a shot. Couldn't take care of the basketball, and so you kind of feel for them. That game to me looked like Gonzaga's just a team that's been in that situation before, and we talked about how Georgia, the progression from each year Coach White's been there, still a young team, but probably Missouri, watching Drake, that you see those types of teams in the tournament, right? They slow it down, take the air out of the basketball. They don't turn it over, make some shots, older veteran team. And, if they hang around, you're in trouble. And Drake's got a player. That's the other thing when you see these tournaments. If they get that one, that kid starts for Drake, man, he can go. So, it's a prime team that can upset somebody. So, yeah, it was tough to see. I felt like Missouri was obviously one of our better teams in the league throughout the season. And
I would argue that the winless to the first round of the NCAA tournament is one of those most spectacular turnarounds. It's not like you turn it around in the Sun Belt. You're in the toughest conference in America. I know they didn't win yesterday. They were winless, right? They were winless a year before at Missouri.
Last year.
That's impossible. But... yeah, they're out.
Well, that staff did a good job. The one thing that staff did was they kept a couple of key guys, Tamar Bates, Anthony Robinson, and they brought some high-level transfers in. Like, Mark Mitchell played at Duke a couple of years, okay? Did Tony Perkins, key player at Iowa. They got the kid Caleb Grill healthy again. So that staff did a good job despite that, conference record last year, but still bringing in high-level guys and keeping some key guys. So that was a big part of it.
Pat Bradley with us also reminded me what it's like hanging out with my buddies when I go to a Bruins game when I go back home with Murphy and Sully and Kaka and Billy, Everett Mass's own. One of the great Boston accents, which we love to hear here down in the South. But, Pat... that will lead me into Calipari and Patino, right? This is a phenomenal rivalry.
Primetime TV. Right
I've
here.
Read 10 articles this morning about the disdain. A little background is that, Patino was a point guard at UMass. Calipari gets the job there. Patino helps him get it. I think he feels like he wasn't grateful enough for it. And when he took the job at St. John's, he literally referenced, I need to get John Calipari's name out of my resume. There's only two coaches in history that have taken three teams to the Final Four. It's Calipari and Pitino. And Pitino, if he gets St. John's there, that'll be four different teams in the Final Four.
Ooh, yeah. Coach P is one of a kind. And, you know, it was 29 years ago in 96. They were both in the Final Four, UMass. Coach Cal and Coach Pitino won the national championship in 96. Going way back in the day.
Yeah, so no, this is a disdain for each other that has grown over the years. Now, Pitino said, I'm no different with John than I am with Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski, which is like, I don't build relationships with guys I want to, you know, basically beat the hell out of. But right. Theirs runs a little deeper. I thought the win for Arkansas and Calipari just validates everything. And Rusty, you talk about him getting in the portal after. They're going to be a force there, too.
Let me tell you something. They're not playing around. And, and you can add and you can change a school instantly. You look at Missouri. It's a great example. They didn't win a freaking conference game.
Yeah, and they go to the portal.
Portal.
And Calipari to it. Was that one of the better wins, certainly for the SEC to beat Kansas?
Yeah, I think it was. It has to be up there with for the SEC. The most profile one, you're going to get the Hall of Famer, Coach Bill Self. Kansas, you know, let's not forget, Kansas was in a conversation. I think they might have been the preseason number one, and Hunter Dickinson was in conversation for the preseason National Player of the Year. And, you know, they sort of had an up-and-down season similar to the Hogs. But the Hogs, just, you know, this is one thing. You know, they've had some injuries. They've had some transfers of their own that taken a little while for them to get comfortable and find their rhythm. But they've got 7'2", 6'11", 6'10". They've got their backcourt is 6'4", 6'5". You know, the Hogs are big. They're athletic. They get out and run. They, you know, they're not the best shooting team, but you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they get out and make 8-9 threes per game. I mean, their strength is attacking the basket. So, you know, once they put it all together, you know, they got talent. It was just, it seemed like they were never playing their best as a team together. And they found something here recently where they're doing it now.
Pat, obviously tied in with that program at Arkansas and hiring a coach like Calipari. And then you got a mega booster that is 100% in and behind this team and Tyson Foods. How aggressive are they going to be in the portal? Can you keep DJ Wagner and those guys? What's the deal there? But what do you expect out of this team? Because, you know, he's had to transition from one and dones to understanding what the portal does to you and how quickly you can maintain through the portal with experienced players. How aggressive do you think Arkansas, because I saw a story yesterday that said Louisville has $10 million ready to go, and they would be the largest spender of anybody in the offseason. They're not playing around. They want 10 new players, and they got $10 million. What do you think Arkansas is going to do?
Well, I would say to anybody, it's not the money. It's how you spend it.
Correct.
And we've seen multiple teams bring in guys that just
Kansas last night
didn't fit well together.
Yeah, Kansas is terrible this year.
Last night.
Yeah, Kansas.
Yeah. You'd think that's a, you know, you hate to say, you know, Coach Self has been around, done that a couple of times. He's so successful, but I think there's a lot of coaches who are maybe, I don't want to say learning, but sort of definitely, you know, sort of reevaluating how they put a team together. So I think with Coach Cal, they're going to have plenty of money, and, you know, he's got his 5-year contract, so not only is Tyson Chicken committed, but there's quite a few other businesses and other folks that are committed to making sure that Coach Cal has those resources.
Hey, let's talk about the SEC. Mississippi State first game on the board against Baylor. That's a dogfight pick'em game. Bama goes off right after that one. Obviously, we still got to get Alabama. They're in the mix today as well. Oklahoma's going today as an 8-9 against Connecticut. The SEC in the thick of it today. Give me, you know, 30 seconds, a minute or so, on just how the SEC is going to fare today, what you see playing out.
Well, my two big games, North Carolina, Ole Miss, and a lot of it has to do with this. Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with the story of North Carolina. You know, nobody thought they should be in. They get in. They hang like, you know, they scored 200 points the other night. And now I'm looking.
Yeah, how about they're favored? They're favored against an Ole Miss team that was ranked all year and has got huge wins. And now I've heard some gambling folks say, you go ahead, Carolina, that's the public. The real people know that Ole Miss, that's a game they win.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw it. So I like Ole Miss. I think that's going to be sort of a statement win for Ole Miss. Like, hey, we're a Sweet 16 team, maybe even further.
Right.
And then Oklahoma, UConn, how can you not look at that game and say, you got the two-time defending champs. You got Coach Danny Hurley, who's been about the most talked-about coach, probably outside of Coach Cal in the whole country. And you've got Oklahoma Sooners team with Coach Porter Moser that won three of their last four. They had to have it. They get a fantastic first-round freshman in Jeremiah Fears. So that, to me, is going to be a fun game to watch with all those storylines.
That's a tough draw for, Oklahoma. But Big East has looked pretty good already in the tournament. Florida going today as well. Bama going today. I mean, again, I go back to the Big Four in Kentucky. I think they're all going to be tough outs, the SEC, for the rest of the guys in the tournament.
I get four SEC teams in my final four: Florida, Bama, Auburn, and Tennessee.
All right, you know who writes your who signs your paycheck, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, think about it though. Tennessee's a 2 seed. They can play Houston 2-1, right? They can pull through on that one.
In the words of Nick Saban, if you don't pay the right guys, you're S out of luck.
Yeah.
What you were talking about there.
That's exactly what you gotta do.
Yeah. All right, Pat. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Keep my guy Peter Burns straight. Tell him those shirts, those mediums are getting a little tight on him.
Yeah. Someone's going to have a heart-to-heart conversation.
I will. Doring won't, but I will. I will.
Right. Thank you, fellas.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Pat Bradley, SEC Network. A lot of action going today for sure. Hey, when we come back, Rusty Rocks. Look at the rest of the slate for March Madness today.
Yep. It's on. It was great yesterday, even though Georgia got the you-know-what be out of my mind.
What is the Rusty Manziel tweet that's up over like a million? What's it at?
It's got 200,000 since 9:45. It's stupid.
We'll tell you what it is. It's come ridiculous. Back. Sports Radio 92.9.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
March Madness Day number 2. Thanks so much for checking in with Steak and Rusty Manziel. Rusty Rocks coming up about 6 minutes or so. You know you love that on a Friday. Have that to look forward to. Georgia Bulldogs done. Almost like they were never there. They really weren't there. They were down 27-4, and that thing was over.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you used to go into Waffle House at like 2 a.m. and you were there for about 30 minutes. You had a good time and left.
Yeah.
The dine and dash kind of. That's what they did.
They just the whole thing just extremely disappointing. I would imagine Josh Brooks. I know Josh Brooks' mentality. You do too, Rusty. He said it about the baseball program a few years ago, that we have to compete for national championships in baseball. We have to compete for national titles in softball.
Yeah. They got to win a tournament game first, and they got blown out. So let's.
Yeah. But my point is, like, there should be an expectation level of the top of the SEC. You shouldn't be looking up at Mississippi and Mississippi State. And
the expectation was to make the tournament, and they did,
yeah.
And it was a bat. Now it's, okay, we're not just happy to go to the dance. I don't want to see
any competitor just happy to go to the dance, and that's exactly what they were. Gonzaga guard said it. They looked shell-shocked.
They haven't won a – you saw that.
Okay, whatever. Ace of Newell's there for 1 year. So, like, what happy to be there? I mean, you know, was McNeese State happy to be there?
You're not reading the room. I'm going to read the room for you.
Yeah.
They were happy to be there. Georgia fan base, if you told them in early January you're going to the tournament, they would say whatever happens, happens. Okay, been there, done that. Now it's different expectations.
But you
got to win the All-Star.
Like
I agree.
Lose 68-64. Give us some thrills. That was the worst rooting experience. I didn't have a second. I was thinking about my daughter. I called her. I said, what's the plan in Athens?
Yeah.
And she goes, this is funny. She's like, oh, yeah, we're excited. I go, don't fake it. Like, yeah. Is anybody in Athens really getting into it? She turns to a roommate and she goes, like,
are they playing today?
Oh, literally, she goes, hey, we got to watch the game. She goes, yeah, what day do they play? All right. This is an hour before first. We were on FaceTime.
I guarantee they know when the G day is.
So they went, no doubt. They went to Paloma. I was like, that must have been the saddest party. Or little, you know, my daughter said, hey, it's just cool that we're in the tournament, that we made it. And I was like, well, when you have that mindset.
I'm telling you.
When baby Sophie has that mindset and the team does.
It's different after now. Okay. Got to win the offseason.
All right. You're being you like Carolina, that old Carolina Ole Miss game. Ole Miss is a top 20 team the entire year. They got a rugged SEC schedule. Carolina gets in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. You know that spread. Carolina is now the favorite over Ole Miss today in a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the public sees the North Carolina blue, and there's a reason that number. I mean, that number looks from a value perspective like the wrong team is favored. You almost sound like you like Carolina,
and they should be favored. I think Carolina has a chip on their shoulder. I think they got pissed off that they were the laughingstock of the country. The freaking governor of West Virginia is trying to sue you for being in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, you get out of our tournament, North Carolina. I'm telling you. And they came out, and they played well, and they shot the ball, and they still got some guys. It's not a normal North Carolina team, but I'm telling you right now, they have no pressure on them. I would take Carolina.
No credibility.
I would take Carolina.
I'll be the first to tell you.
You got more than that guy on TV yesterday. Went 0-for
ESPN. What's that guy's name, Day-Day? ESPN Bet. I love the show ESPN Bet.
Yeah.
And that guy, Joe, who is the point guy.
Who won't be employed Monday.
No, he'll be fine. But he had he was on today. I saw him.
Steak, he went 0-for. He went his entire picks were Ofer.
Joe Fountainbaugh.
Okay, so I think he went winless.
He did.
And he was on the radio or TV talking about it.
On the world's largest platform as their expert.
He is their – right. He was shell-shocked.
Don't sugarcoat it. Sugarcoat Georgia. Dude, I won't sugarcoat that.
He was shell-shocked. So I'm just going to say that – you know, in the public. Although, Drake, listen, what did we say yesterday? I don't know how I got to look overall at Brandon Lang's
picks. I messed around and accidentally threw away where my paper that I wrote.
You
out our
tweeted it out yesterday. I looked at it. Yeah, he's got it
tweeted. Everybody was on Drake, and they turned out to be right. But everybody was on High Point. I just don't like the games where everybody seems – UC San Diego. Didn't everybody go?
Yeah, but you look at those 5-12 games and those 6-11 games, and you realize that minimum 50% of those games are either going to be really close or they're going to be upsets.
You know why I liked Michigan, though, by tip-off? Because everybody was talking about UC San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the game was a 2-point game. I think Michigan
68-65. I had UC San Diego in my bracket.
Yeah, I think Michigan covered because it was late. A 1.5-point spread. But I don't know. Today will be interesting. I'm curious with SEC fans. There's a lot of places in town to go watch. Bama in action, Florida in action, Ole Miss in action, just to name a few, as the rest of the day plays out. So, you know, we're going to get busy here. Obviously, next week we got games here Friday and Sunday, right?
I heard you talk about that. And be honest with you, I think you're spot on. Like, there's really no energy about it. But hold on now. Let me finish before everybody freaks out. Let Auburn be in this building.
Right.
And let Auburn be in that building in this town because there's a ton of Auburn alum.
I'll tell you what you'd be surprised by is how many Michigan State fans will travel or live here.
Oh, yeah.
So Michigan and Michigan State alum in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because Michigan State's the 2 seed. So if you get Auburn and Michigan State on a Sunday afternoon to go to the Final Four, you and I both talked about the Final Four game, the Final Eight game we went to, which was – the UMass team.
Marcus Camby and those guys beating Georgetown. I ran into Marcus Camby and those guys at Baja Beats Club in Buckhead that night. Think about that.
Now you would fly out afterwards.
Right.
They didn't fly out to the next day. How you think those dudes felt? I'm sitting in, I'm showing my age, Baja Beach Club in Buckhead. And Marcus
Camby. I haven't heard that name, Baja Beach Club, in so long.
Listen, Marcus Camby and those dudes walk in. They just won going to Final Four. You not think there were some bad decisions made that night?
That was March 23rd, 1996.
I was a young.
You were at that game?
I was at Buckhead. We watched the game, I believe, from Buckhead Brewery. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
We watched the game there.
That was the Marcus Camby, Edgar Padilla, Carmelo Traviesa team.
Yes.
Against Allen Iverson.
Yes.
Othella Harrington.
Yes.
And Victor Page.
Beat them in the Georgia Dome.
Yes, they did.
Like 70,000 people there. Insane.
35-1 UMass versus Georgetown. I think they didn't play that game in the did they play the game in the Dome?
I think they played it in the Dome.
They played it in Atlanta for
curtains.
Sure.
They had the curtains up.
I will tell you.
I know they played in the Dome. Yeah, they played in the Dome.
All right. You ready to do Rusty Rocks?
Yep. The last couple of weeks, you know, I was in that mood, and I was in some country. I was in some classic rock. And you kind of touched on me like, how did you have all this musical
diversity of your musical taste?
So
right?
I kind of flipped my switch. And I've been into some old school rap, and I was like, you know what? It's March Madness. The weather's getting warmer. It's time for some top hip hop songs from the 80s. And before Bo gets into this one, number five, I'm gonna give you a little bit of memory on each one. And at number five, this song,
top hip hop songs
of the 80s. All my West Georgia friends, all my West Georgia alum that I know, Lil Bar. Rob Triple knows this bar. A little bar in Carrollton, Georgia called Spyro on Thursday night. They used to have a DJ. Great place. All my buddies knew when this song came on, it was time to look around the room. Number five. Mm-hmm. 1986. Beastie Boys. Brass Monkey.
Have you ever seen the...
Yes. Before you asked me, yes.
Beastie Boys documentary?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
How good is it?
Dude, it's awesome.
It's on Netflix, I think.
License to Ill, that album, changed. Oh, it's a great documentary.
It tells the story of how they came together, how they changed the genre, the notion of those.
They had to fight through that. I mean, they're kind of like nerdy white kids.
Right.
And then you hear the beat, and you're like, wait a minute. You guys did that?
That was...
The demo tape, they got into the right hands. I believe it was the same guy, Day-Day.
I don't remember who they got the demo to, but I know they ended up with Russell Simmons.
It was the big radio station in New York City. One of those DJs got it. And it's like, you got to hand this off. The demo tape got around. Great job, though, Brass Monkey, man. Song still hits. Number four, one of those ones you didn't tell your parents you were listening to, but everybody listened to this one. Boys in the Hood, Eazy-E, N.W.A. 1987. Really, really what started Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, this was their national, like they came out of Southern California, Crenshaw, national tour. That movie on them is incredible. It's incredible.
Oh,
the
so
decision
well
that Dr. Dre made to leave when he knew they were getting done wrong. Number three, one of my all-time favorite artists. And I don't know how many times he's made it. He's still my guy. Rock the Bells, LL Cool J. 1985. This drum beat still drums. I don't know how good that sounded in my 1983 Mazda RX-7, but it was enough for me.
Is there anybody cooler than LL?
LL still the dude, man.
1985. You said it from Def Jam Records.
Yep.
And Rick Rubin produced it.
Rick Rubin said LL Cool J, and I believe he said LL Cool J and Jam Master, LL Cool J and Jay-Z. Jay-Z, okay. The two most talented. He said those guys would write a song, and within one take, they would memorize the whole word. Incredible memories. Don't play this one yet. First rap song I ever heard in 1985, this song, like I'd heard some, but like this was the song that I went to my parents and said, take me to Turtles. I still remember this. 12 years old. Take me to Turtles. I want to buy this CD. I want to buy this cassette, this tape. Bought it and kind of changed me forever. Run DMC, Sucker MCs, 1985. I'm pretty sure I bought me a pair of Adidas after this. You had to have some Adidas if you like Run DMC. Man, they had some great ones.
Run DMC.
That was the first rap song where you purchased
That was the first cassette tape I ever bought, and you had to buy the whole album. So it wasn't singles then. But this one, you can stop before you play this. And this is my – everybody that knows me, my daughters give me hell about this song. This is still always in my rotation. It's right in my wheelhouse, 16 years old. Coming home from baseball practice, my buddy had a 280Z Datsun T-Tops.
I know it well.
And Eric Dowdy, one of my high school best friends, played at Furman. Now he's a principal. God rested those students over there in Columbia, South Carolina. We played this every day as loud as we could, leaving practice, pulling out of the parking lot, and probably speeding, to be honest. You can hit this one. It Takes Two, Rob Bass. That's one of those songs, I don't care if you're 58, 59, your shoulder starts popping just a little bit.
No, it's not only that. It takes you back right away.
Oh, dude. So I was 16, era. I was prime. Oh, dude.
We're the same.
Shark tooth necklace, little cologne, little polo cologne.
I think of this in the wrestling room or the lacrosse. We're changing, dude. Getting ready to go out.
He had that big gold chain. He had that sweatsuit on, Day-Day, and that big gold chain. And they're walking down the street. Had his hat to the side.
That was cool.
Mm.
Great memories right there.
That's the top five Rusty hip hop songs just pop into his head on a beautiful Friday in the great city of Atlanta. We'll come back, play three strikes, get you ready for the rest of the day. Sports Radio 92.9.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
And the game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel, thank you so much for being with us on a Friday morning. Lots more to go here. We'll play some three strikes coming up in a little bit. Hawks have a hell of a weekend. You wanted to be CNBC'd in Atlanta tomorrow night. Golden State, Steph and Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr.
How hard is that ticket?
It's an expensive ticket.
Was it 92.9 game last year? 92.9.
Last year we had the Warriors.
Yeah, I went, and it was insane how many Warriors fans. I was like, holy smokes, man.
A lot of those Steph jerseys.
Yep.
That was one of our trips. Me and Bobby had our little basketball retreat, and we went and saw Golden State that first night in Charlotte. They're iconic, man. You know, Steph Curry, iconic, and Draymond. You know, I hadn't watched. I had great seats that night. Watching Draymond Green still get after it, still do the things that nobody does anymore, set massive screens, run the floor, play defense, get after it. He played with an energy at his age that just blew me away.
I got to say this on the NBA, and I don't talk a lot about it, but I'm gonna take this second to, as much as he's taken from me and as much as he's taken social media-wise, Bronny James had 17 points last night.
Wow.
You know what?
Bronny had 17 last
17.
Night.
17. You know what? And I sit here and said, you don't deserve to be there. You're there because your dad. You're taking somebody else's job. They had some injuries last night. Yeah. He winds up playing. He had 17
yeah,
points.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even see that yet.
You know what?
They get blown out, though, by the Bucks. Yeah. But
I mean, they had basically me, you, and Day-Day playing. Right. But
it was the JCC All-Stars.
And we were hoping Day-Day was going to get us 30.
Yeah. They had a bunch
but of, I'll say this. Dude had 17 points. I think he was 4 for 7.
I never thought there'd be a day that Bronny James would score 17 points in the NBA at all. Anyway, Hawks are Saturday night. That's the crazy ticket. Sunday, a great kind of a outlet for family night. I think 6 o'clock start. Perfect on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Then State Farm Arena gets next Friday and Sunday. The opportunity to see really good college basketball. I, you know, it's like a lot of people. We haven't focused on it yet, but I hope so. I want to be there Sunday to watch one of the big boys try to make it to the Final Four. I think it'll be unbelievable atmosphere. Listen, we were both lucky, Data. You go earlier this year to that doubleheader.
Yeah, the Kentucky and Duke. That was the first time getting to see
Seeing Cooper Flagg live. Yeah. We got to see him early, and Kentucky beats Duke in that game. It's one of Duke's few losses. I love being in a building with live bands playing in timeouts. It's different from a football stadium because football stadium is so big.
Wide open.
And I'll never forget when Tech made their run, and you know we were the flagship of Georgia Tech at 790 The Zone. There was nothing better than hearing the Tech fight song in timeouts as we're you know going through the two regionals, and then we're at the Final Four in San Antonio that year, and Tech beats Oklahoma State and Eddie Sutton with Will Bynum's shot, and the band after, and the cheerleader after, and the alumni after, and the look of joy in those moments from the alumni, which is exactly what it's like when you make the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the few sports where if you're a runner-up, that's fine. You know, if you make the Final Four, now that's not fine for, you know, right now probably not Auburn because they almost won a national title and everything. But I promise you it was fine for other programs.
Alabama has never been. Tennessee.
Never been.
Tennessee. Alabama has now. Tennessee has not, right?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Tennessee has never. Yeah. With all those great teams they've had.
Yep.
From Ernie Grunfeld to Bernard King to all every iteration of it.
They are definitely trying.
Here's our three strikes question. College basketball player you absolutely fell in love with. A college basketball player you fell in love with. Could have been over the tournament, you know, Bo Kimble and Hank Gathers.
Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble.
Passed away.
Lowell and Marymount.
Could be Kenny Anderson, Lethal Weapon 3. Could be just a guy that you fell in love with playing college hoops. Second one is the hip-hop song that brings back the best memories.
Hmm.
The hip-hop song, I don't know about the best memories, but this was
put you in a good place.
Oh, yeah,
this is one of mine right here.
Oh, man.
Fight
great
the Power.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Spike Lee really emerges on the scene.
Then he does Morris Blackman because of this.
So.
Signs a deal with Nike.
You talk about a cool song, right?
Yep.
So, and finally, a local tavern that does it right. Local tavern that does it right. Just, you know, with all the shout out for all the big sports bars and everything else that we take care of yesterday. Just give me somebody, you know, that feels like that's the way it's supposed to be. You walk in, they know your name, they pour you a beer, you know.
Can you imagine Buckhead 1995 with the March Madness like right now? Like what would be happening? What would be happening today?
Well, $3 cafe would be bananas.
The entire Buckhead would be
bananas. So do you have a local spot in Rome, Georgia that's kind of like a local watering hole? Or
there's a place called Dark Side, which is on the other side of Harvest Moon. This is their little bar area. It's called Dark Side.
Yeah, a local tavern that does it right. Hip-hop song that brings back the best memories, and a college basketball player that you fell in love with. How big a Public Enemy fan were you?
Loved it. Chuck D.
Yeah.
You know what I'll do at Dark Side? I will walk in. If it's like six of us couples, we will walk in, and we will put some paper that folds in the bartender's hands, and we will write down 20 songs, and we say, you play these 20.
Oh, that's old school right there.
You play these 20 in a row. These two pieces of paper are yours. And you know what happens 100% of the time? Those 20 songs play.
How great a move if you're going to spend $100 or $50 somewhere anyway to walk in and just hand that and say we're going to be here a while. How much better is your service going to be?
Oh, 100%. Look, if you pay up front, you that's how you get the best anything.
You'll never wait for service, drinks.
Right. Anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you hand a bartender right out of the gate, hey, we're going to be here, even start with a 20, because you're still going to pay for your drinks, possibly. But if you just start out and establish that relationship, right?
Yeah.
That's called establishing a baseline relationship. We're gonna connect here.
I've got a friend that is very, very well off. Very well off. I went to a fundraiser with him one night, and it was an open bar, big fundraiser. He walked in, and he handed the bartender
a C-note. How much?
He walked in and handed the bartender $500 bills.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, hey, this is what he said. Coolest move ever. He goes, you see me and you see this guy? And he goes, you see that line of people? We're not standing in that all night. And he goes, you know what? Y'all come right here and your drinks will be. What are you drinking? It'll be ready when you want one. I never waited in line the entire night.
That is 100% how it works.
Yeah. He handed him $500 crisp ones. He peeled it off in front of him and said, you see this guy? And you see me? We don't wait in line all night, and we never waited in line.
I don't get broke off like that. But look, dude, man, we know faces of people that, you know, treat us well.
Take
and
care
you
of you.
Will.
This guy is Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack. This is who I compare him to. He's got more money he could ever spend. And when he walks in, he owns a place. And I love it that he's my buddy.
Right. Like we always say on our show, you don't need a lake house. You don't need to be super wealthy. You don't need to belong to all those fancy country clubs. You just need friends who are.
That's right.
You just need friends.
That's my guy.
You don't want to own that boat.
He's my guy.
You don't want to own that boat. You want a friend. Let him own the boat.
We
right?
walked into Chops Super Bowl weekend.
Yes.
And he was the one that kicked two movie stars out of their seat. And you know who sat there? Rusty Mansell.
Yeah.
And our party.
Because he's a regular.
He's a regular.
And Sylvester Stallone's only there, you know, every couple of years. 404-726-0930.
Good question. Y'all call
I put this. I laid it on a tee for you. It's like when Rusty was coaching 10-year-old softball. He had that. Well, you don't have a tee in softball as much as it. But that's how you get that swing. That's how you get that swing.
Yes, sir.
The college basketball player you absolutely fell in love with. The hip-hop song that brings back memories. And a local tavern that does it right. A local tavern. That, and that could be where you went to college.
A lot of Spyro fans. I see the tweets. West Georgia, I gave you some shout-out. Spyro, it was a really good place in Carrollton, Georgia.
All right, let me give you the big game of the night, courtesy of John Foy and Associates. I don't know. We'll stay with the NCAA tournaments. The North Carolina Ole Miss game is 4:05 on TNT. You may be out there with Mike Bell. Over there at where are they going to be this afternoon? Twin Peaks,
Cancun,
in Buckhead. Yeah, that's a real good game. Connecticut and Oklahoma. That's a TNT game tonight. Xavier and Illinois. That's a 9:45. These are little bitty spreads. These are first round games with little spreads. Liberty has become a sexy pick. Liberty got beat by Kennesaw State earlier this year, and Kennesaw State had Liberty on the ropes. As well.
The trendy pick today is Troy. Great rebounding team against Kentucky.
Okay.
A lot of upperclassmen.
What's the number on that game?
I don't know, but that's the trendy pick. Everybody's
11
on Troy.
And a half.
11 and a half. Troy, great rebounding team, good guard play. I like Carolina, and I like Troy plus 11 and a half.
I like that 11 a lot as well. Everybody looking at a flawed Kentucky team under Mark Pope. Let's take some phone calls. All right, Tinker, college basketball player you fell in love with.
Steph Curry, I believe it was Davis. Hey, is Steph Curry when he played Davis.
Yeah, yes. That's a good one. Hip-hop song brings back great memories.
Anything by Run DMC, literally just put it in, hit play, shuffle, it doesn't matter.
Yes, sir.
Local tavern that does it right.
This kills me. I told you about this place twice before you finally went. And you loved it, and that's Lassiter's Tavern over there in Vinings.
Lassiter's in Vinings is the definition of a pub tavern local. I mean, it smells, it looks, just the whole set. Appreciate it. Had
good
a great
call,
time
too.
There. I know the owner was listening when we were talking about it, but Lassiter's Tavern in Vinings, a lot of bougie places around there. That's down home. CJ in Dallas, college basketball player you fell in love with.
Man, the run J.J. Redick had when I was young is just unmatched.
Wow.
He had some you know what to him.
Well, you're seeing it now with the Lakers,
yeah,
dude.
But
he's got a swag.
He would turn to a student section and leave a finger up in a heartbeat.
There's a reason they're the most hated and loved program in players. A hip-hop song that brings back the best memories.
Young Money, Every Girl in the World, my first trip to Panama City, it played everywhere we went.
You've never been the same, have you?
Local.
I think about it often.
Local tavern that does it right. Local.
There's a place up there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in Trenton, Pennsylvania. It's called the Eagles. They've known my name for years.
Great call, buddy. Thank you.
We could literally take calls 30 minutes on those three questions. Guaranteed. Those were home run questions.
So we'll put that up online. Follow.
You will get some good ones with that.
Follow at Rusty Manziel _ at Steak Shapiro. Lots happening today. Andy and Randy coming up next. Mike Bell after that. I think Chris is working with him. And going to be a fun weekend.
Is Duke's in Vegas? I saw.
He's in Vegas. He's doing his thing. Also keep in mind, we'll have the games on Westwood One. Get the Odyssey app. Get the Odyssey app anywhere you are.
Easy.
If you're like, you know, you're in some travel soccer, i.e. lacrosse.
If you're in the bronze bracket Sunday, you can come back and listen to us today from 9 to 11.
You know it. Hey, take care. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your week. Bye.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.